It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead. This your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. That's our text. Sometimes people get lost. They get lost if they're in a strange place and don't know their way around. Or, like when we first moved here, you can get turned around in directions. Has that ever happened to you? You're lost. If you're like me, you will never admit that. You will say, no, I planned this shortcut that ended up being an hour longer than if I'd have taken the right way when I was lost or wasn't lost. Too many people get lost spiritually. They don't know where they're at before God. Thanks to the grace of God, many people know they have been found by their Heavenly Father. So we might call Christians God's lost and found people. Jesus told a story, as Cameron shared with the kids in the kids' talk. It's known as a parable. A parable about someone who was lost, but then was found. This parable Jesus told, one of his best known, is a beautiful picture of true repentance and how God reaches out in love and forgiveness to the penitent sinner. It's the parable of the prodigal son, who was lost and then found and brought back in by his loving father. The parable also speaks, though, of another son, less mentioned, less remembered, but who also was lost, although in a different way than the other. And so the parable tells us of a father's love for both of his sons. So we're going to consider this lost and found story and see how it applies to us. We need to look then at the lost condition of both of the sons. They were lost in different ways, just as many sinners who are still lost fit into one of the two ways that these sons were lost in sin. So the younger son, the prodigal, by the way, you know what prodigal means? Well, it means the prodigal son. The story Jesus told, what's a prodigal? Well, a prodigal is, it means to be excessive, wasteful, a squanderer. So, the younger son, the prodigal, was lost in the sins of worldliness. But then the older son, he too was lost, but he was lost in sins of self-righteousness. Let's go to the prodigal first. He was attracted by the pleasures of the world. And so he sees a way to go after them. He asked his father for what eventually would be his. He asked for his portion of the inheritance. Now that's not the way, the usual way of doing it, but the father complied to his son's wishes. And the son took his inheritance and he had a great time in loose living. He lived it up, so to speak, spending his inheritance freely as if it would never end. Why would he do that? The temptation the world presents. The pleasures of the world look so attractive. It seems that we'll be happy if we go after those pleasures. The devil wants us to think that way. And he makes his offers very appealing in his temptations. See how much fun you can have. You don't have to pay attention to what God's law says. Well, at least not now. Live for today. Live for yourself. Enjoy, indulge, and live it up. You only live once. Well, so the prodigal with inheritance in hand and feeling totally in control of his destiny knew what he wanted and went after it. He had it made. He had his freedom. And even though willfully disobeying God and abusing his father's generosity, he went after the desires of his heart. How long did that last? Not long. The prodigal ended up with how much of his inheritance? You don't have to do much math to come up with zero. Nothing. His well ran dry, so to speak. And when that happened, he had nothing. He became desperate to the point of wishing he could eat what the pigs ate. And the kids agreed with Cameron, that doesn't sound good. There's another little twist of an irony here. If you are a Jew, what's one of the last animals you would touch? A pig. This was the lowest of low. And he wished he could eat the slop the pigs ate. Now the green grass on the other side wasn't so green anymore. What a lousy situation he had gotten himself into, to the point of despair. What a shameful and miserable condition he was in. And that, my friends, is a pretty good picture of our sinful condition. It makes us lost spiritually. It is our nature that we are lost and separated from God. Our sin does not satisfy, not really. Sin leaves us starving. Sin leaves us dead. But how tempting the devil makes the pleasures of the world look to us. As long as he has people giving in to his temptations and not repenting of those sins, he has them right where he wants them. And that's the lost condition portrayed by the prodigal son. The pastor was telling the story of this parable in the children's talk one Sunday, much the same way that Cameron did this morning. After describing the rejoicing the household had after the return of the wayward prodigal, he spoke of another one who, in the midst of the festivities, failed to share in the jubilant spirit of the occasion. And so the pastor asked, "Can anybody tell me who this was? Who was the one that didn't want to celebrate?" Of course, the pastor expected what answer? The older son. But a small boy put up his hand and said, I know the answer. It was the fattened calf. Well, that wasn't who the pastor meant. He was talking about the second son, the older son. He is the one who characterizes another way that the devil tries to keep mankind lost in sin. So along with enticing mankind with worldly lust, the devil also wants to keep us lost in sins of self-righteousness. And that's where the second son of the parable comes in. And Jesus includes this son in his parable to warn the Pharisees about their self-righteousness, to show them that their good or righteous actions did not make them right with God, and thus they were no better off than the impenitent prodigal sinner. The older son. What did he do? As we first look at it, nothing wrong, right? He stayed with his father. He did all the work. He never disobeyed the commands and the wishes of his father. He's the one for whom the party and the feast should have been arranged. He's the one that should have had the royal treatment and the expensive gifts. Hadn't he earned it? Especially in comparison to the actions of his wayward brother. Who is it that deserved the father's goodness? The older son. So he thought. You owe me, Dad. Kids ever said that to your parents? You owe me? Don't push that one very far. And then when his brother comes home and the father is generous, he resents his father's generosity. He's angry and he condemns his brother while bragging about himself. It isn't fair. It
it isn't fair.
Boy, have I heard that as a grandparent. Kids, do you ever say that at home? It's not fair. It's not fair. When you think your brother or sister gets more than you get, or gets away with something that you've been punished for before, and they didn't get punished, it's not fair. What's the answer to that? Life isn't fair. And sometimes it's not. Well, that's the feelings of the older son. It's not fair. The spoiled brat gets to have a party while I do all the work. Because he felt that way, he refused to go into the feast and to take part in the joyous celebration, even when his father came out and tried to talk him into joining the festivities. He wasn't going to go in. The self-righteous son, you see, wasn't any better than the other one. He was just as lost in his sins of self-righteousness and pride. And that was the Pharisees' problem. They thought they earned the right to be God's people because they thought they were doing all the right things. And that's the problem with self-righteousness. It too denies sin, refuses to recognize sin, or at least think that they're good enough to make up for whatever sin they might commit. But they can't, and they won't, and they will remain lost in sin without repentance. So for anyone without Christ, the condition of both the sons is an accurate portrayal of sin's lost condition. I don't know, do they still have lost and found boxes around schools and places like that? It's amazing sometimes how much stuff is in those lost and found boxes, right? T-shirts, shoes, coats, socks, towels, books, pens, pencils, watches, hair clips, school bags, phones. Well, lost, but someone found them and then put them in the box with the hope that the items might be retrieved by their rightful owners. Lost and found. Our nature is that of being lost, but someone has found us. And in Christ, God has returned us to the rightful owner, Himself, because of God's great love. He sent Jesus to deal with our sin. All of it. All kinds of it. God's love for the lost is portrayed by the Father in Jesus' parable. I think that's the most important character in the parable. We see His love extended to both of His sons. We see what the reception of that love means for the one son as he was repentant of his sins. The Father had love for His lost sons. The prodigal, remembering his home and knowing his father's love, finally came to his senses and realized his utter foolishness. How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go and repent of my sin and ask only to be taken in as a servant. Now to do this, he had to swallow some pride. Pride to admit that he was wrong. And to say he was sorry for what he had done. And that's pretty hard to do. To say I'm sorry. Haven't you been wrong about something or done something wrong to someone? And even though you knew you were wrong, you couldn't bring yourself to say I'm sorry? Some people, it seems, would almost die than admit that they were at fault for something. Hard to admit it, isn't it? And sometimes we'll say I'm sorry, but then we start attaching the conditions or the clauses, if you will. I'm sorry, but. Is that really being sorry? No. It's like, I'm sorry, but here's my excuse. I'm sorry, but really somebody else is at fault. I'm sorry I got caught, and I wouldn't have been sorry if I hadn't been caught. Sometimes our I'm sorry's aren't really all that I'm sorry. Well, the prodigal was sorry. He swallowed his pride. He admitted his wrong. And that's part of being repentant. He recognized he was not worthy to be called a son anymore. He was unworthy to receive his father's forgiveness and love. He deserved nothing. He had nothing to offer as payment. No power to bargain. No power to make a deal. He had no excuses. It was all his fault. And all he could do was throw himself at his father's mercy and grace and hope and pray that he would forgive. By the way, that's another quality of being truly repentant. Recognizing that we have nothing to offer. Totally unworthy of God's love. Totally unworthy of his favor. The prodigal knew his father's love. He clung in faith to that mercy, knowing and believing that his father wouldn't turn him away. And that's another aspect of true repentance. Truly sorry. Believing he would be forgiven. Admitting he was wrong. Knowing and believing that God would forgive and has forgiven us in Christ is part of repentance. Now, we've got to remember that God is the one who brings us to our senses. It's through his working of his Holy Spirit and his word in law and gospel. The Holy Spirit using the law to convict us of our sin and to bring us to our knees in sorrow, and then using the gospel to bring us to faith, causing us to turn in repentance to our Almighty Father. By the way, sins do matter. They do. They had to be paid for. That's why God sent his Son. And it proves his great love for us in that gift. He sent Jesus. He did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. And Christ made the penalty, paid the penalty by making the payment, by suffering and dying on the cross for sin. God forgives because every sin has been paid in full by his Son, who was the perfect Son, who in love gives what he earned that we might all be sons and daughters going back to our Father. And so God reaches out in love to the sinner. The prodigal's father, did you notice what he did in the story? Doesn't wait for the son to get home. He sees the son, and what does he do? He goes out to him. Ray runs out to meet his returning son, and he receives with open and waiting arms a moment he had longed for. He desired the opportunity to forgive his son. How much he loved him. How many parents can relate to that? No matter how they have been hurt by a child, they still love that child, and they're always ready. And always willing to forgive. Well, that's the way God is toward us. He forgives. He forgives. He forgives. And wants all to receive that forgiveness. He wants us back. No matter what. No matter how lost. No matter how far away. Cute little story. The owner of a dog. He had his dog collar on him in case he ever got lost. He would know what to do. Except the owner of this dog had a little strange saying on that dog collar, the tag on it. It said this, if found, don't bother to return. What? What kind of an owner of a dog would say that? Well, thankfully, God is not that kind of an owner. God has found us. We were lost, but now we're found, and he's brought us back. He welcomed the prodigal, and the father in the parable loved both of his sons. He welcomed the prodigal back, and he reached out to the other. Now, the parable doesn't tell us whether the older son listened to his father's reasoning, and maybe perhaps Jesus was leaving that part of the story open so that the Pharisees could answer that for themselves. But we know there was joy. Joy when the younger son repented. They threw a party. What does God do for us? When we repent, do you know what the Bible says in a couple other parables Jesus tells? When someone repents, do you know what they do in heaven? They're partying. There's angels joyful in heaven when one sinner repents. Wow. That's pretty awesome. In love, God takes us in. In love, God makes us his own. He gives us rich spiritual blessings upon blessings. We receive an inheritance, even though not deserved, but earned for Christ and given to us, and the angels in heaven celebrate. What a lost and found story. I mean, yours and mine. What a lost and found story. No matter what we have done, God has welcomed us home. Welcome home. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.